Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to the Tech Meme Ride Home for Wednesday, April 20th, 2022. I'm Brian McCullough. Today, Netflix shares crater after earnings, and the company might be turning to ad-supported streaming to eke out some growth. Coinbase's NFT marketplace is live. Why crypto stocks are uncoupling from the underlying crypto market. Why the surge in 0 days might actually be good news. And the tech bubble that would never burst, at least so far. Here's what you missed today in the world of tech. Ah, springtime, when a young person's fancy lightly turns to thoughts of tech earnings. Netflix kicked off tech earnings season for us once more by dropping a doozy. The company lost 200,000 net subscribers in the quarter when Wall Street was expecting an already anemic number of 2.5 million net additions. Netflix even missed a bit on revenue, coming in at $7.87 billion versus $7.95 billion estimated. The stock this morning opened down more than 35%, quoting Yahoo Finance. Netflix's drop in new users came as a surprise to Wall Street, with analysts looking for a slowdown, but still positive growth in subscriptions in the first 3 months of 2022. Subscribers grew by nearly 4 million in the same quarter last year. In total, Netflix exited the first quarter with 221.64 million global subscribers. Netflix was all about subscribers for so long, Santosh Rao, Manhattan Venture Partners head of research, told Yahoo Finance Live Tuesday afternoon following Netflix's results. The whole story has to be evaluated from a lower base now, and the multiples are getting compelling at this point, but we need to see that the growth story is still intact, and they have a strategy to tackle the challenges ahead, end quote. For the current quarter, Netflix said it expected an even steeper decline in new users. The streamer said it sees subscribers declining by 2 million in the fiscal second quarter, whereas consensus analysts were looking for a gain of 2.4 million, end quote. The lone bright spot for Netflix last quarter was the addition of 1.09 million subscribers in the Asia-Pacific region, which analysts say was helped by the success of Squid Game. On the earnings call, Netflix was banging the drum once again about getting serious about cracking down on scoff laws. Netflix estimates that its users are sharing passwords with more than 100 million non-paying households globally, including more than 30 million in the US and Canada, which of course is in violation of its rules. Account sharing as a percentage of our paying membership hasn't changed much over the years, but coupled with the slowing pace of broadband and connected TV adoption means it's harder to grow membership in many markets, an issue that was obscured by our COVID growth, Netflix said in its letter to shareholders. What to do about all this? How about something that Netflix swore up and down it would never do? CEO Reed Hastings said Netflix plans to offer cheaper ad-supported plans and will examine what those plans will look like over the next year or two, quoting The Hollywood Reporter. Those who have followed Netflix know that I have been against the complexity of advertising and a big fan of the simplicity of subscription, Hastings said. But as much as I am a fan of that, I am a bigger fan of consumer choice and allowing consumers who would like to have a lower price and are advertising tolerant get what they want makes a lot of sense. It is pretty clear that it is working for Hulu. Disney is doing it. HBO did it. We don't have any doubt that it works, Hastings said, adding that it will be a plan layer similar to Hulu. Hastings also said that when Netflix does launch an ad-backed tier, it would do so as a publisher without the data tracking and ad matching that some competitors are embracing. In terms of the profit potential, definitely the online ad market has advanced, and now you don't have to incorporate all the information about people that you used to, Hastings said. We can stay out of that and really be focused on our members, creating that great experience, end quote. The move to embrace advertising marks a sea change for Netflix, which has resisted advertising on its service since its inception. But with subscriber growth slowing and now declining, the potential to bring new, more price-sensitive users into the ecosystem is proving too great to ignore, end quote. Let's pull out, though, to the larger 30,000-foot view. stocks of all the major players in the streaming wars were down this morning in sympathy because the question coming to the fore is the one we discussed long ago with Peter Kafka. Does the business model of streaming actually math out? On CNBC this morning, Rich Greenfeld of Lightshed Partners said, quote, "The whole subscription video business is slowing far sooner than management teams hoped. That's a major issue for every single one of the companies in this space. The streaming business seems smaller, far more competitive, and less profitable," end quote. Also, forget the drop in Facebook. Netflix's market valuation has declined by $200 billion in the past 5 months. Should we retire the term FANG? At the very least, we should replace the N of Netflix with the M of Microsoft, in my opinion. Netflix was always the outlier in this little group. But then, you know, the F of Facebook is now the M of Meta, too, so I don't know, it's all outdated. Also, I'm going to stick this right here. Over the last year, here has been the performance of some of the COVID times high flyers. Peloton stock down 77%, Teladoc down 65%, Chegg down 65%, Roku down 67%, DocuSign down 53%, Just Eat down 65%, and Zoom down 65%. Speaking of Just Eat Takeaway, I'm going to shove this right here real quick. Just Eat Takeaway says it is exploring a partial or full sale of Grubhub less than 1 year after buying Grubhub for $7.3 billion. Quoting Bloomberg, the Amsterdam-based company said in a statement Wednesday it's exploring strategic actions for the U.S. division just as it's losing an unusually high level of customers across its key markets. Months after the transaction closed in June, Chief Executive Officer Jitsi Groen said the business would be an important part of industry consolidation. A transaction has yet to materialize. However, Just Eat is facing deeper questions on its strategy. Groen has been touting a turnaround plan that featured activity on Grubhub, as well as expansion into groceries and building out its own courier network. Shareholders have been lobbying for quicker action around its assets and pushing the company for clarity on how it's developing other parts of the business. Pressure on the company intensified last week when investor Lucerne Capital Management said it planned to vote against the reappointment of the food delivery company's chief financial officer and supervisory board at the annual general meeting in early May. In recent months, Groen has said outside investment in Grubhub could be feasible, including from private equity or strategic partners. Bloomberg News reported in January the company was open to a sale of the division, end quote. Coinbase has officially launched its NFT marketplace into beta after announcing the service back in October of 2021 with support for Ethereum-based NFTs and ETH payments. Quoting The Block, the beta NFT marketplace is accessible to everyone to view from today, but initially only select users will be able to buy or sell. Coinbase will be onboarding a small number of users into the beta for Coinbase NFT. Sanchin Zaxena, VP of product at Coinbase, told The Block, Coinbase opened a waitlist for the marketplace in October, winning more than 1.5 million signups. Only some customers will initially be able to use the beta marketplace based on their position on that waitlist, said Coinbase. Beta testers will be able to create a profile on the marketplace to buy and sell NFTs. They can use any self-custody wallet, including Coinbase Wallet and MetaMask. Coinbase won't charge transaction fees for a limited time, the exchange said, adding that it will eventually add fees in line with industry norms. Coinbase NFT for now only supports Ethereum-based NFTs and payments in Ether. Saxena said the marketplace will integrate other blockchains in the future and full fiat on-ramps will be coming soon. As for gas fees, Coinbase said it has partnered with 0x Protocol to optimize transactions for lower costs. Coinbase will also allow users to purchase NFTs via credit cards, as it announced earlier this year. At the time, the company partnered with MasterCard to let users buy NFTs by card, end quote. We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there is no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, their crossword puzzles, just because they're available right now or they take your slightly sketchy insurance. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance, so literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And these docs all have verified reviews from actual real patients. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. I have personally used ZocDoc to find a podiatrist when I needed one for the first time ever in my life. Go to ZocDoc.com/techmeme and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/techmeme. ZocDoc.com/techmeme. Let's be real for a minute. Most guys would wear a t-shirt every day of their lives if they could. The problem is that most t-shirts are not acceptable to wear at work or out on a hot date night. But today's sponsor, Cuts, has finally changed that. Cuts t-shirts are such high-quality, wrinkle-free, and so buttery soft that you can look like you're dressing up even when you're dressing down. Yeah, you heard that. Wrinkle-free. You never have to substitute comfort for fashion ever again. If you see me in a t-shirt, it's likely one from Cuts. I'm also a huge fan of their AO five-pocket pants, the right sort of step up from jeans without going all the way into dress pants, like literally my ideal Venn diagram of professional-looking but comfortable feeling. When you touch something from Cuts, you can immediately feel the quality. Their proprietary fabric blends are ridiculously soft and breathable, they don't wrinkle, and they look way more expensive than they actually are. For a limited time, our listeners get 20% off your entire order when you use code RIDE at checkout. That's 20% off your order at cutsclothing.com with promo code RIDE. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the perfect blend of style and comfort with Cuts Clothing. cutsclothing.com, promo code RIDE for 20% off. But back to doom and gloom, since we're back to crypto, many cryptocurrency stocks have fallen sharply in 2022. For example, Coinbase stock is down around 40% year to date. Marathon Digital is down more than 30%, and Riot Blockchain is down more than 30%. In other words, crypto stocks are performing worse than crypto itself. They're decoupling from the overall market, quoting the Wall Street Journal. The cryptocurrency market has been in sell-off mode recently, even as hundreds of millions of people now trade Bitcoin, Ether, and other digital assets. Bitcoin is down 11% this year. Ether is down 16%. As of Monday, the entire crypto market had fallen about 19%, though prices were off their year lows, according to data from CoinMarketCap. Stocks of publicly traded crypto-focused companies, however, are doing worse, falling as much as 60% so far this year, according to FactSet. The combined market capitalization of crypto companies that trade publicly has fallen to roughly $60 billion from $100 billion in November, when Bitcoin rose to a record, according to JP Morgan analysts. More than half that slide, roughly $20 billion, came from Coinbase alone. The divergence between cryptocurrencies and cryptocurrency companies shouldn't be a surprise, said Nicholas Kolas, co-founder of research firm DataTrek. There is always some difference between the value of an asset and the companies that build businesses around that asset, he said. Bitcoin and its peers, Mr. Kolas says, are driven by consumer interest and usage, but companies such as Coinbase, Silvergate, and Marathon derive their value from how well they sell their products to customers. The same dynamic can be seen in oil and gold markets, as well as other commodities, end quote. It wasn't my imagination. Google's Project Zero says that 58 in the wild zero days were detected and shared in 2021, more than double the previous yearly record. But what if that's actually a good thing, a sign of success, a sign that the industry is improving at finding zero days? Quoting from ThreatPost, Google attributes the uptick in reported zero-day bugs not to higher volumes of bugs, rather an increase in detection and disclosure. Also, not a revelation, is attacker methodology, researchers wrote. Attackers are having success using the same bug patterns and exploitation techniques and going after the same attack surfaces, wrote the author of the report, Maddie Stone, security researchers with Google Project Zero. While this was Google's third annual review of zero-days exploited in the wild, researchers said they have been tracking instances of zero-day bugs since mid-2014. We've tracked publicly known in-the-wild zero-day exploits in this spreadsheet since then, Stone wrote. The important distinction in Google's research is between known in-the-wild bugs and exploited in-the-wild bugs. While we often talk about the number of zero-day exploits used in the wild, what we're actually discussing is the number of zero-day exploits detected and disclosed as in the wild, she wrote. Google reported that of the 58 in-the-wild zero days for the year, 39 were memory corruption vulnerabilities, 17, use after free, 6 out of bounds, read write bugs, 4 buffer overflow, and the remaining 4 integer overflow. Google also provided a list of platforms impacted, such as Chromium with 14 zero days. Chromium had a record high number of zero days detected and disclosed in 2021 with 14. Out of these 14, 10 were renderer remote code execution bugs, 2 were sandbox escapes, 1 was an info leak, and 1 was to open a web page in Android apps other than Google Chrome, Stone wrote. 7 zero-day bugs were found in the Safari WebKit component. Microsoft's Internet Explorer had a reported 4 zero-days exploited in the wild. Microsoft's Windows operating system had 10 zero-days, and Apple had a total of 6, with 5 iOS zero-days exploited and 1 macOS one. The Brave browser has introduced dAmp, a feature which bypasses Google-hosted AMP pages and takes users straight to the original website, quoting The Verge. Where possible, dAmp will rewrite links and URLs to prevent users from visiting AMP pages altogether, Brave said in a blog post. And in cases where that is not possible, Brave will watch as pages are being fetched and redirect users away from AMP pages before the page is even rendered, preventing AMP/Google code from being loaded and executed, end quote. Brave framed dAmp as a privacy feature and didn't mince words about its stance toward Google's version of the web. In practice, AMP is harmful to users and to the web at large, Brave's blog post said, before explaining that AMP gives Google even more knowledge of users' browsing habits, confuses users, and can often be slower than normal web pages. And it warned that the next version of AMP, so far just called AMP 2.0, will be even worse. Brave's stance is a particularly strong one, but the tide has turned hard against AMP over the last couple of years. Google originally created the framework in order to simplify and speed up mobile websites, and AMP is now managed by a group of open source contributors. It was controversial from the very beginning and smelled to some like Google trying to exert even more control over the web. Over time, more companies and users grew concerned about that control and chafed at the idea that Google would prioritize AMP pages in search results. Plus, the rest of the internet eventually figured out how to make good mobile sites, which made AMP and similar projects like Facebook's Instant Articles less important. A number of popular apps and browser extensions make it easy for users to skip over AMP pages, and in recent years, publishers including The Verge's parent company Vox Media have moved away from using it altogether. AMP has even become part of the antitrust fight against Google. A lawsuit alleged that AMP helped centralize Google's power as an ad exchange and that Google made non-AMP ad loads slower, end quote. Finally today, and I really mean this, there is not a theme to today's stories. I didn't pick any of the stories because there was a thread I was pulling at. This is just what we were dealt today. But I will end with this one. It's from the New York Times. It's a timeline of warnings from investors over the past decade about a possible tech startup bubble. A bubble that never really burst, even for all the warnings. Instead of a collapse, things just kept getting bubblier. This is one of those cool graphical stories that the Times seems to excel at these days, one that you really need to load up for yourself to get the full impact, especially of the timeline. But, quoting from the accompanying piece, today's warnings are different from those of the last decade. Investors tiptoe around the word bubble, referring instead to a recalibration or a pullback or even a gentle softening. The people who once called for caution grew tired of being wrong, and their audiences became numb to the warnings. Every time the alarm bells rang, more money poured into startups. This time is different. Used to be a morbid joke among investors. Now people believe it. Tech is too enmeshed in our lives, the thinking goes, and the dot-com bubble is too far in the rear view. This decade-long startup boom has surged in the face of so many scares, each time amassing even more money and power. Maybe it really is different this time. Some investors believe market euphorias are good, even necessary, for progress. Without all that attention and excitement, how can a startup founder convince workers and investors to help turn their crazy moonshot ideas into reality? Sure, most of the people who flock to a bubble are in it for the money, and yes, things can get messy, but underneath, it's all moving forward. Out of the dot-com ashes, techies like to remind us, grew Amazon, PayPal, and eBay. Even as the biggest factor driving investors to high-growth startups over the last decade, low interest rates, begin to change, even as economists worry about an impending recession, and even as startups lower their valuations or suddenly run out of cash, few today are predicting a total collapse. A decade of talking about a bubble that never bursts will do that, end quote. We'll be right back. Happy Elon Musk Day to all who celebrate. Talk to you tomorrow.